see here? She's holding the money and just writing a second will. Where's the machlokas last week? If you're holding the money and you're writing a second will, the machlokas doesn't work now. This, or is this better? This is, who's holding the money here? No.
The bank.
The bank have that money in their resource. It's in their resource. And she's saying, now it's in your possession, this money of yours. My money is given to you, a third party called Mr. Bank. What do I want in the event of death, that it goes to this son? If so, then we have the conditions of mitzvah, the kind to the mace, according to all opinions. It should work according to everybody here. Secular will, machlokas, because you didn't actually physically give it over. It's a machlokas. But here, the money has been given over to a third party. And there is a command what to do with it after death. So there should be a mitzvah, kind to the mace, according to all opinions. And therefore, it should be... Doesn't matter where you go. The money should go.
The money wasn't given over in order to show that she's serious. The money was given over because that's how she's been nahel over her own money.
Ah.
It doesn't show any.
Let us look at our first marmokim. Goes like Shulchanot. Avol, but says the Ramah, which is a Mordechai, Hayabayata Kotim below the shame kach. If the money was in the third party's hands, but not for the purpose of fulfilling her commands after death. Oh, Shabbat Yodza Achasva, the Embo Mishum Mitzvah Kainzir Remes. There's no Mitzvah Kainzir Remes in such a situation. When is there Mitzvah Kainzir Remes? Is when I write my commands and then give over the money based on those commands to a third party. But if the money is already in a third party's hands, before I write my will, and then I write my will, that doesn't show that you have fulfilled the mitzvah of the kind of the
unless
why?
What if I write in the will, and that money, which is a loan that I gave to Tony Amoni, that he has to pay me that money back in 12 months, that money, I'm designated is to be...
That also wouldn't work, and you have to explain why. Why is there a requirement in order to work that at the time you're writing your will, then you give over the money, but it's not good that the money's already there, and then you give over your instructions. Like over here, the money was already in the bank account, and then she said afterwards, you know, after death, then I want the money to go to my older son. Why is that no good? Why has to be the money be given over at the time when the will's written? What's the logic behind it?
Your mom died. That's your dad. When you write the will and then you give the money, they connect
it. How? Why do you need it? Why do you need it? No Gemira Stas, I have Gemira Stas, even without giving it to a third party nowadays, and to, for sure, if it's in a bank's account. If it's a Vorta Gemira Stas, I don't understand the difference whether the money's there before the will or after the will. The Maisa, after I've written the will, it's not in my possession or control, totally, no. So therefore, I have Gemira Stas. What's the difference? Why is there a requirement that it has to be given over at the time of writing the will? Ah, very good. We said the whole pshat why the Maharit says you need a third party. Nothing to do with Gemira Stas. It's a vort of. This is what I want. I want you to make a kinyan on what I want already now. So if it's already in that third party's hands before I write the will, you can't make a kinyan if you're ready in your hands. It can only take place to do a kinyan afterwards.
It's like a totally technical problem. You can make a kinyan on a birthday cake if I give it to you now from the table, but if you have a birthday cake sitting on the shelf in your kitchen, I can't make a kinyan sitting with you now on the
birthday cake. No, only if I hand it over. If you're looking after it, if your shomer already on it, a shomer can't make a kinyan on behalf of the owner. He's like an extension of the owner already. You can't make a kinyan, like your right hand can't make a kinyan to your left hand. If you give your right hand, it's like you're picking up this jug and say, I want the zoo, makna to you. So what do I do? Give it to my left hand. Does it work? Doesn't work, because it hasn't left me. So similarly, when my shomer, when the money's in the bank is looking after it. It's my left hand. Then I tell my left hand, you know, be koner it for him, for my son. What do you mean? It hasn't left my rishus. You can't do kinyon unless it leaves your rishus. So it doesn't work. So, therefore, we're back to
the machlokas.
Yes, we've got a will, so to speak, that's saying after death the money in the bank should go to the oldest son. But you haven't got the kinyan which you need according to the Maritz. So we're back to the machlokas, wherever it works according to halacha. Now, let us tackle the shayla in a different way. Maybe the oldest son is correct in a different way. You came late, so I'll tell you the shayla quickly again. Shayla is like this. The oldest son was put in charge of the bank account of the mother, that in the event of death, the money will go into his, which was, he has total rights over that. Called survivorship. Survivorship of the bank account. And she died. He claims that money is his, and the rest of the children are saying, no, it's part of Yerusha, she's been split up. We say, there's no better at this moment than a secular will, which should be a machlokes. But there's another way to react to it. The money in that bank account, who does it belong to? Yemi, who's that money belong to? Yeah, I want you to tell me. The money, you've been here long enough to answer this question. The money in the bank account, who owns it at the time of death? The bank. The bank. The bank owns that money. Yes, it does.
No,
not,
he owns it.
It's not a bakatan. It's not a bakatan.
It's called law nitin lo san. It's already been spent.
What does the bank have a duty to? What's its responsibility in respect to that? In respect to the money it has.
Pay back a loan.
It's a debt. They owe money to the deceased. Okay. Now, as far as the bank's rules, in the event of death, who they're supposed to now give the money to? Can they give it to the other children? No, according to their rules. Can the children get hold of it, therefore? Can't get hold of it. So, the son, the older son, let's say it's not his. According to the opinion, second rule doesn't work, it's not his, it really belongs to Yerusha. Yes? When he takes that money, who is he taking it from? He's taking it from the children, which is illegal because it's their money, and according to the opinions it doesn't work, it should be split out equally. Or is he taking it from the bank?
The bank won't give it to them.
He's taking money which belongs to the bank and he's taking it. Is he taking it against their will? The bank's will, or the will, the bank are giving it full heartedly to him? Is he? He's taking the bank are very happy to give it to him. So therefore, what's happened? Let us say, halakhically, that money, which is a debt to the estate, should be dished out. When he takes that money for himself, is he stealing from the estate or not? Is he stealing from the estate when he takes that money out of the bank or not? You say yes, you say no. Why yes? I don't accept answers from anybody who just says them just to make controversy. You have to give explanations. Yes without an explanation doesn't mean anything. Yes, it was just a debt. If he had rights, yeah. No, only at the time of death. Only time of death. Only time of death. You had rights to take it out.
And you can say that about anyone in the bank.
Yeah, so therefore...
Without a son signed on it, any money in the bank.
Which they have a debt to a certain party, yes? Really, halakhically, their debt is the whole state, yes? But when this boy takes it and doesn't give it to the state, what's he doing wrong? Is he stealing from the estate?
No, he's stealing from the bank.
He's not stealing from the estate because money doesn't belong to the estates at this stage. All he's doing is taking money from the bank. Halakhically, the bank still owe the estate because they gave the money to the wrong guy. Halakhically, yes? But has this guy stolen from the estate? No, he hasn't stolen the estate. He's got from the bank. Did he steal from the bank?
Nope.
Did he steal from the bank?
Not bank gave it to him earlier.
No, the because they thought they owed it.
Okay, really did he steal from the bank?
No, that's the bank. When you take money from someone that doesn't know they don't owe it to you,
he stole from the bank.
They don't care about you, you know.
We ran all the shirin. Remember the shirin last month? Remember the shirin we gave last month? You tricked the boy or the bank into giving you money which you don't deserve. Because they halachically still owe the money to the state, so they gain nothing by giving it to you. You've tricked them into giving the money to you, who you are not the legal person for the money, so therefore you've stolen the money from the goy, from the bank.
The bank will never give the money to
them. Right. So you got a din hashom sevetim. That's the shirim last month with the so. So, we've still got a problem. To take the money out is not stealing from the state, but it's stealing from the bank. Because they think they're being released from their debt, but halakhically they're not being released from their debt. Why is a long shirim which you had last month? You can listen to that again if you don't remember. So, we're still with the conclusion it states that the money in the bank has to be split. But let's look at Chiddush of Shlomo Hyman. Everyone know who Shlomo Hyman was? The Rosh Hashiva of Torah Vadas in America, in the first Rosh Hashiva, and he was a godel in Europe in Vilna beforehand. Okay. And this was a shayla set to him when he was in Vilna. It goes like this. Yeah, number two. Rosh Shlomo Hyman writes, Nishalti Adova Amona. There was this woman who her husband died. Shemes Bala. Behina, the Niyak Master Bank, money was left in the bank. Vichokia Alkois. Ha, Isha Resh as well, according to the secular law. All the state of the husband goes to the wife. The Gopsa her master bank, so she took the money out of the bank. The Shalom also Imamah Shalom the Shtam Shalom the bank hello for them Adata the Min of Lepra. She asks, she's asking me, does that money belong to me? Can I use it? Ani Masubiki Eshda Mahani Masha Mitzvah Shalom Shalom Yosha Achamisa to Achamisa Kva Hagia Chob Yosha. So says Rav Sherman Ham is that he's got our Shaila. Money's in the bank, a woman is taking it, she's not entitled to it, because she's not halakhic yours. The children are. But, Rosh Hashanah Haman says, maybe she can keep it. Why? What's his sophic? And Ali Musufik, he absent to the Mahani Masha Masavish, Shalin Yoshib Lakham, he's sophic. He say, the bank were told to pay to her. Maybe that halakhically is valid. Maybe it's not. What is the sophic of Shlomo Hyman that he's saying maybe she can take it? Up to now he said she's not entitled to it because Yerusha means goes to everybody. And she can't steal from the bank if they're still obligated to give to other children. Halakhically she can't take money out of the bank. So why is Shlomo Hyman suggesting that she can halakhically take this money? Where in these words do we get a clue of a suggestion why it should work? Says, if a bank perel acha misosa l'ishto, if a bank pays to after his death to his wife, habikamo shehilvo al dasa, it's like they lent with that condition. The bank borrowed money with that condition in mind. What condition?
The man dies, they can pay the wife.
That they can release themselves from the debt by paying the wife in the event that you are no longer around, the husband. I am borrowing money with a condition. The condition is that in the event of death, that I'll be released from the debt by paying your wife. If so, if that's the shot, then she's not stealing from the bank when she takes money out, because it's only called stealing from the bank if she takes money and they're still halakhically obligated to somebody else. She's basically causing them to pay twice. That's called stealing. But if the condition that the bank sets up was, I am borrowing money from you on condition that I am released from the debts, that in after death I pay this woman, that means when they do pay her, they're released from the debt. They don't owe anybody else. Therefore, she's not causing the bank to pay twice, and she's not stealing from the bank.
Wait a second. In this case, she was signed on the account.
Here, no. It was just the law of the land. The law of the land. We're out the accounts. In the Shlomo Hyman's case, it was just the law of the land. It wasn't actually signed on.
So that's not true? The bank never sent me a sign like that.
Well, since that's the law of the land, that's a built-in tonight. Now I'm asking you, all to think tonight, yes? Why Rav Sherman Hyman says I'm the Supik? It sounds a very good position and understanding to hold. What's his Supik? Is it the Supik, what you're saying? Or is there another reason? Why is Rav Shlomo Hyman Masupik? Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work.
Because he can't make a tenai. What's going to happen after he dies? Is that his voluntary children or what's going to say? You're reading the last.
Huh? I want you to say the answer.
The Acham Yisrael, sorry.
No. We're going with the Mahalach that the money, as far as the debt goes, is a debt to the estate. But taking money out is not stealing from the estate, it's stealing from the bank. Why steal the bank? Because they have to pay twice. Shlomo Hyman says you don't have to pay twice because there is an inbuilt condition that when you give money to the bank, the bank are released the debt if they pay to the wife over there, and it's like saying, I'm going to make a condition, if you pay to the monkey, then I'm released from the debt. So I paid to somebody who may be not a relative, but that was the condition, I'm released from the debt. So therefore, she's not stealing from the estate because she got money not from the estate, got money from the bank. She's not stealing from the bank because the bank doesn't have to pay twice. So why can't she do it? Why is it the Rav Shlomo Hyman Masupik? Why is he in doubt? Lou, you hear me? Got anything clever to say?
The Efsha, the Acham Yisrael, sorry.
Kabamagia Leyoshim.
So the Chazanish says like this. The Chazanish says like this. The Sofik is like this. Im hitna behedja, she im yomis, vi yimtsa le shriach lacham isa. So if it works, see my honey. If you make a condition, clear out condition. In the event of death, pay to Reuven over there, and your release, says the Chazon Ish, even if you speak it out, I'm the Supik whether it works. Why? In Stamahabika Omashu Mechila Ma'ashov Al Tanai? Is it like saying, in the event that you pay off the debt to Reuven, then you are released from the debt today when I'm alive? If I pay to Reuven after your death, then I am released from the debt already today while you're still alive. Then it works. So is it like saying that when you pay to Reuven after I die, then I release you from the debt? And then it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? What's the second way? That in the event I die, then you pay to Reuven, and then you will be released from the debt. That doesn't work. Why doesn't that work? Why is there no mechila after death?
It's not yours to be mocha.
Because at that stage, when he's trying to release them, who does it belong to? Not him, it belongs to Yoshim, so it doesn't work. Says the Chazon Ish, when you say a loshen, like pay to somebody after death, do you mean I'm releasing you today in my lifetime if you pay after death, then it works? Or does it mean when you do pay, then I release you, then it doesn't work because it no longer belongs to you because you're already dead?
But there's no such suffix by your bank account because you're getting interest up to the day of death. Up to the day of withdrawal, forget about death.
Why?
Because you are. The bank account.
No, why?
Interest.
Why
there's no retroactive mechila on the debt. I want interest up until the time I withdraw.
That doesn't mean there's no interest. Why?
Debt is mochel, no. There's no interest.
No. I'm going to whisper words to you in order not to confuse everybody else. But there's a difference between lamafreya, then you're correct, and mekanabol lamafreya, where you're wrong.
Brisker, okay.
Okay.
I
I get a Tylenol headache every time I go.
Okay, but if you want to talk in detail, we can have a long discussion afterwards. But your question is not a question because of that. Okay. So that's the topic of the Chazon Ish, and therefore, even without what you say is a problem of Shlomo Heimann, because it's not actually written, says the Chazon Ish, even if you write it clearly, we still don't know what you mean. Do you mean to release them already today? Then it works. Or do you mean to release them only when they pay? Then it doesn't work because you're already dead the next day. Okay. So it remains a sophic. Remains a sophic. Let us move to our second case. And we'll answer the sophic at the end. Second case is like this. Also, a case that came to this. We've been married to a wife, a woman, Sarah, call her Leah, in America. Married to Leah. They bought a house together. And they signed that survivorship on the house. An event of death, that the husband's portion in the house will go automatically to the wife. Survivorship on the house itself, the property itself.
Either party.
That signs survivorship on it. Then they get divorced. After 10 years together, they get divorced. But they don't get divorced secularly, too complicated. It's for tax reasons they prefer to be still secularly married. They only get divorced halakhically. But they don't get secular, no secular law, don't recognize that there's divorce. The husband then moves to Eretz Yisrael at that stage. He remarries. And he has children from his second wife. And then he dies. What? No children from the first wife. She's lived in the house and she is still alive.
She's still married then?
She's still secularly married, but halakhically not married. He's married somebody else and had children from somebody else. He dies. The children now from his second wife. So we're entitled to inheritance. So we get all inheritance, including the house, half the house.
What's the law?
Half the house we should get. The wife in America, so to speak, wife in America, claims, okay, halakhically I'm not a wife, but there's a clause of survivorship here. It says, in the event of death, the house will automatically come under my possession. So therefore, I halakhically have rights to that house.
But in America, I'm not clear here. He didn't give her the house when he got divorced.
No.
So why is she living in it?
But that's their agreement of separation, of getting.
What was their agreement?
That the agreement was that she will have rights to live there during the time, and she'll pay rents on half of it.
Oh, she'll pay rents on half.
Pay rents on half.
Yeah, but he committed a criminal offense.
Right.
He committed a criminal offense.
No, right. It just says in the event of death, the house will go to the wife.
One of them would be.
So therefore,
could be here.
Therefore, we can't sit in Torah. The children of the second wife says, "Well, hey, it belongs to him half the house." Comes to us automatic usher. She says, "No, it's written black and white, and the event of death goes to me." And he died. So
it's only illegal to have two wives, not
and
only
you know
adultery.
You say it's a sophic of the Chazon Ish of Shlomo Heimann. Whether it works, I'm Muslim, I'm sophist, I'm over here. And not only that, I've got two reasons to be right. Firstly, secular wills in the first place is a machlokus. So therefore, I can believe that it works, the secular will, because I'm sitting in the house. Secondly, even according to the opinions who say it doesn't work, it may work by survivorship, because of Shlomo Heimann says, and the Chazon Ish says, it's a sub, it works, even by survivorship. Now, in what way is she absolutely wrong in her claim? And her second part of the claim, at least. She's claiming, look, even according to the opinions which say that secular still work, but you've got Shlomo Heimann and Chazon Ish saying there's a sad to say the survivorship does work. Why is she way off base with such a statement?
Well, there's not Chaim there for sure.
Why is he way off base? You have to explain, not just say
it's not, it's not Shaykh. He never had even the remotest intention that it should give it to her Lamafreya while he's still alive. It's very strange he even wants to have it when he's dead.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure anyone else does.
She's halakhically divorced.
She's halakhically divorced, but written on the black and white paper.
She has accepted the halakhic basis for the divorce.
Yeah, but in the divorce, they never cancelled the paper. They never cancelled the survivorship paper.
They left it intact.
They left
the monetary connection intact.
They left that intact.
She only has to pay half the rent.
But she's claiming survivorship should work because of Shlomo Hyman. Why is she way off base? I understand you already cut it. Let's see if anybody else gets the idea. Why? It's not written on the paper why you're off base, but you can work back with Mafreya. Counting to 10 and then I'm going to give you bells. Where's your Coca-Cola tonight? Okay. Who's your sympathy with? Who's your sympathy with? Yes, in this case. Okay.
I'm asking for these with the children of the second marriage.
With the children, right?
Technically, she's divorced, not married.
Okay, she's way off base, and the reason why is like this. What was the whole start to say it does work, says Rav Shlomo Hyman the Chazanish? The whole start was, you gave me a loan, and I'd be released from that loan from now if I pay off the debt to that person. Does that work when you buy a house and have survivorship on it, that concept? Is it a loan? Is it work? Does the concept of mechila work? Can you transfer ownership by the concept of mechila? Is that third party, fourth party over? No. There's no way to fit in the laundress of survivorship by bank accounts and the survivorship by house. Survivorship by house, there's no concept of mechila. Not saying the bet of death, she can get it and she's mochel for what? There's no loan, there's no debt, there's nothing over there. It's just ownership. He owns half the house, she owns half the house, and the event of death, ownership will now be transferred to you. What is the concept of mechila? To say it works already in her life, there's no concept. There's no way of fitting it in. Yeah? Everyone understand that? There's no way of understanding mechila by Arkis.
She keeps half the house, though.
Keeps half the house,
the
yes.
The only time it's on
half the house. But the other half. Other half. You're saying, I deserve it because he owes me money and I'm taking his payments as a mechila on the debt. No, he never owed you money. So it shouldn't work at all. But Rabbi Zalman and Rechemia Goldberg, if you look at number 5, says like this. We haven't got time to do number 4, but it's based on number 4. Zalman and Rechemia Goldberg says like this. He's got another one. Bank chayiv lo seis lemotzin. The bank have to give that money to the person signed on the account. Why? Zahari kamosha omel isha halacha mona viskatshi leponi mekedushas mekudeshes medin eved kanani. It's like you say to a woman, here, take money, and I want you to be married to Yumi. Here, I'm giving you money, and get married to Yumi by giving me. Is Yumi giving you money? How can you get married to somebody who doesn't give you money? Says the Torah, it works. Meshum Eved Kanani, it's the concept of Eved Kanani. I give you money, it should be considered like Yumi gave you money, and therefore you're married to Yumi. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zalman Nechem Goldberg, say who also? Hokinami. Bahava, Yocho Hamar Veloma. The lender can say to the bank, Halacha Mona, here's money, I'm giving you a loan. Amanas on condition. Shirechayv Lachzir Aptoni. That you don't owe me any money. I'm giving you money to the bank, but you don't owe me any money. You only owe Reuven over there. I give you money as a loan to you, Mr. Bank, on condition that you indebt yourself to Reuven and not to me. Says Zalman Chaim Goldberg, that's what survivorship is. Survivorship means that I'm giving you the bank money on condition that you indebt yourself already to my wife in my lifetime.
leaving out a very important factor.
It's only absolute.
Yeah, in the event that I died, and it means that you were always indebted to my wife and not to me. I give you money that in the event that I die, you always were indebted to me, that my wife, indebted to my wife, that my wife was the one who really lent me money, and not me.
Yes. That's not true by the house.
Not my friend. So the same thing is by a house. If that's concept, the same thing as a house. When you buy a house and you say, I own half, you own half. In the event I die, you should get everything. What does that mean? It means I'm buying this house, I'm giving you money to buy this house, on condition, the event that if I die first, then the owner of the whole house already from now is the wife.
Not true. Because I get all the royalties in my life.
All the money that she
again, the same question you asked before. Same answer.
No. Just from that, after death. No. After that, the bank says, the bank doesn't have in mind. It's all based on the Tanai.
Because the bank understands the concept, Rav Zalman Goldberg says this concept. That the bank are going, they consider their indebtedness to the survivor. That's who they're going to.
From the time
so,
of death.
Yes, they want it to work. So therefore, if they want it to work, they want to work according to the mechanism as it works the best. How does it work best? Not only according to the second law, according to the halacha. Is there a system out there that can work according to the halacha? Yes, if you interpret the agreement was that when I give you Mr. Bank money, you are already indebting yourself, not to me, to my wife, in the event I die. Then it works halachically. That, therefore, the bank wants it to work even halachically. So therefore, they want it to work the best way possible. Therefore, it's included in the agreement. If so,
it
can work even by
a
house.
Works, they'll say that when a person
therefore,
dies, then they give it
the
over.
They were Talmid and Rav Zalman and Nechemya Goldberg, and therefore they passed in the house belongs to the wife, based on this svara. But, in the first case of the bank account, they passed it does not belong to the son. The same case came to both the same basis. Both cases came to the same basis. One case they passed in the house, then it goes to the wife after death because of the sorrow of Zalman and Chemya Goldberg. In the first case of the bank accounts, they said it doesn't go to the son who's the survivorship on the accounts. Why? What happens? If you're saying that swara, you should say it uniformly, both by the money in the bank account and in the house, which is in the wife's name of survivorship. What's the difference? Giving you 5 seconds to think of the distance.
She's married to
him. No?
There's a very big difference between a husband and a wife. Leaving the property, which is half of her name, not doing anything about it, going, getting married. It's very different than a person dying and having a bank account that he didn't make any positive decisions.
Very good, very good. And it's Moshe Feinstein who says this difference. Well, he's going to speak it out in a more clear way that everyone can understand. We'll look at number 6, and this is the end. It says like this. You know, it's quite normal to have survivorship on the bank account, says Moshe Feinstein. Shahaba Osen. Many people do this. They don't have intention when they're putting someone as a survivorship on a bank account or on a bond that they're giving it as a present at that time to that person. There are clear cuts umdunas out there that there's no intention that the person meant it as a present to the person who's written as survivorship on that account. Therefore, says Ramosha Feinstein, having just survivorship on the bank account, that is, there's umtunus that most of the time the concept is just being like an apotropos. You're just looking after the money. I don't mean to give it to, like you said right at the beginning of the show, and like you repeated yourself again over here. That when you have survivorship on the bank account, we don't interpret it as you meant to give it to the person at all in the first place. It's just meant to be he's in charge. Especially in this case where the old people, you needed people to be in charge. They needed to have something involved in the bank accounts and their details. They wanted the older stuff. There's clear cut circumstantial evidence that they never meant to give it as a present when they survived on bank accounts. However, when they bought the house, the man and wife, and they had joint 50-50 ownership, and they wrote the concept of survivorship. He just meant her to be an upper choppers over there. They didn't even have children that stage. What did he mean by the concept of survivorship on that? When he wrote the concept of survivorship on the house, what did he mean? He definitely meant that he wanted it to be her totally in the event of death.
When he wrote this,
married together.
That at the time when he wrote it, that's what he meant, yes?
Love that.
When he married her and he bought the house together and they had solemn vows, what did he mean by having survivorship on that?
You know what he meant?
He meant definitely that in the event of death, she should be total owner of the house. That's what she meant.
He meant, especially in the United States, men to utilize proper estate tax planning.
Why? What? Because he didn't want his wife maybe to have a tax bill.
He didn't
this
want
is the best
estate to have a tax bill.
No,
there's
the wife.
All kinds of tax considerations that could motivate that that have nothing to do with it.
The fact that he was divorced by the Kovindan office doesn't change it.
Doesn't say so, because you don't, if you divorce and you don't change the mitzvahs on the ground, the mitzvahs on the ground have already been done, and you have to change it if you want to change what's been done. And therefore, that's why, in the din Torah of the house, he definitely meant to give it over. Therefore, we interpret it in this basin, according to Rezal Menachem Goldberg, that when he dies, then it means the house was always her from the time of buying. But in the case of the bank account, where the old couple signed the son over survivorship, they never meant to be his at the end of death. They just meant it to be easier to be him, to be the executor of the state of the world, and as many orders to prove that. That's why in that case, they pass it has to be split according to Yerusha. In the case of the house, it taka goes to the wife.
Even if it was an American divorce, it would still survivorship. Survivorship, hello, and people do
no, because at the time, if there's American divorce, then all monetary issues have to be discussed then. At that stage.
They also could have
including the house. They have to, there would be a whole thing on the house.
Logically, it's not required, but American law, it is required. Yeah.
Depending on what state it was, he also could have been doing it because of creditor protection. If he owed money to people, and his wife has a survivorship interest, that could protect it from
we'll
some
have
creditors.
To look at his situation in order to work out whether there's tax benefits
right, so
in order
that's
to work
I'm saying,
yes,
yeah,
enough. Very good.
London best investment.